All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Saturday morning, right at this time, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, because it is Brilliant Ideas Radio Show, and it's me, your humble host, Brilliant Ideas, joining you again for some more food, fun, friends, entertainment, and we never know what's going to happen next. And of course, we have to have my sidekicks joining me today, and of course, our first sidekick. One and only Laurie, the singing food news Jersey style girl. Good morning, Laurie.
Good morning, guys. Happy 12, 13, 14.
Well, guys, in here it's just me because I haven't introduced the wine czar yet because I'm trying to find his music so we can introduce him the proper way. But yes, it is. It is 12, 13, 14.
How cool.
How cool. That is really cool. I guess we should not let him sit on hold. I should turn his mic on against better judgment. But, of course, our wines are the one and only Brian.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loved me till the end. People, let me tell you about my...
Yes, my best friend, Brian the wines are. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. Some best friend you are, leaving me on hold.
Hey, I could have done it for 90 minutes, but I did let you in after, what, 3.5? So just be quiet.
Well, if you had done it for more than 3.5, I probably would have hung up on you.
Aren't you going to say, aren't you gonna say hi to the singing
I'm
girl?
I'm just saying.
I know. Aren't you going to say hi to the singing news girl?
I said, oh, see, I didn't realize I was muted. I said good morning while I was muted. Good morning, Laurie.
Good morning. I saw you guys. I didn't go on Facebook. I didn't untag Brilliant, and I saw you mention me. I didn't get a chance to go on Facebook because our computers are kind of very slow today, so I need to stay off the internet.
Yeah,
but I will go back and
well.
I saw you mention me. Would you share your breakfast with me, Brian?
No, I don't even remember why I mentioned you.
Oh, you shared your breakfast.
It was a post. No, I think I just posted about the show.
Oh.
That's
okay.
All. But you know
what?
What
are you guys done?
You got to hit. You got to play my serious music now because it's time to be serious.
Uh-oh. It is? Already?
Yes, it's time to
already.
Be serious. Well, actually, no. Before we be serious, you have something you need to do.
What do I? Oh, I do. Thank you for reminding me. By the way, if you're listening in on a download on your iPhone, your iPad, or your iDoohickey, whatever iThing you have, I didn't know this till a few weeks back that you can't see the screen, I guess, when you download it, because it goes to the cloud and all you're hearing is our voices. So I need to tell you who's on the show. So today, well, actually, first of all, we have a surprise guest who'll be calling in about, 10 minutes. So I won't say who that is, but I'll tell you she's crazy. And our next guest will be Susie Wyshack. And Susie has written a book. This is kind of cool, too. I need to hear about this. But Susie has written a book. It's called Good Food, Great Business. And it's how to start a successful food product company. So if you've been thinking about a food and wanting to start your own business, she knows the ins and outs and ups and downs. And she has interviewed lots of successful people in the food business and I guess sort of stole their secret, not stole them, borrowed their secret and made a book out of it on things you should know if you want to go into the food business. And then our singer, kind of a rock and roll type of girl, Kara Stevens, and Kara and the Damn Band, I like that name, she'll be joining us as our entertainment musical guest. So that's the lineup for today. And now do we do the serious stuff?
Yes, we need to be serious.
Oh, jeez. What's he going to do now, Laurie? I hate when he does this. I hate when
he keeps
doing
this. Just do it.
Oh,
he's your best friend.
Here we go.
Minutes
of
serious time.
Brian
Starr.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to be serious. Now, Monday, apparently you guys went on a field trip.
Yeah.
I don't know where you went, and that's up to you to divulge, but I get this phone call from Lori. Hi, we're waving. We just went through Richmond. Okay, you guys went through Richmond, Virginia, and you didn't stop to see me. So that's serious number one that will be discussed at a later date.
I don't think it's serious.
And
I think it's funny myself. It's not serious. It's funny. We went by your house and didn't want to see you. That's funny.
I wanted to see Brian so bad. No, we were running late. I forget what happened. We were running late. We were supposed to be meeting you for just a little bit because we were zipping through. And we were running late, and we couldn't do it. We couldn't meet you.
And
Brian,
then, okay,
Brian,
wait,
I have to be serious. You want to know the truth?
Can't handle the truth. Can we quote that on the air?
We were going through Richmond, and she says, we need to stop and see Brian. And I said, no, I really don't want to see Brian. We got to get going where we're going, so let's just skip it. And so it was really me. I'm being serious.
Oh, of course it's you.
Well, no, we really were running. That is the truth. We were running late because what happened? I can't remember what the heck happened. We were tied up in the morning, and it was pouring rain. It was raining.
Okay, whatever. The more serious thing here. The more serious thing here is later that evening, I get a text from Lori with a picture.
Uh-huh.
Okay, with a picture. Now. My little link to the show this morning talked about my dark side, but now we need to talk about Lori's dark side. Lori, do you want to tell me what was in that picture?
No, you tell the audience listening.
Okay, well, for our listening audience, all three of them that can actually get onto Blog Talk Radio, because I hear we have issues. For our listening audience, Lori, who has proclaimed that she would never drink wine out of a plastic cup and carries her stemware everywhere, sent me a picture of wine in a plastic cup. Now, let me tell you, I nearly dropped my phone in the toilet or something because I was laughing so hard. Well, I don't even know where I was, but I was laughing so hard. At the sight of this picture. Do you want to... Now, what I want to know is, did the wine have any different effect or taste in the plastic cup?
It kind of did, but I'll tell you the story. And it's the truth. I do. I carry my wine glasses. They're all wrapped and protected perfectly in my trunk everywhere I go because I'm pompous with a wine glass. But what happened was, we got to the hotel, really got all comfortable, took his shoes. He was very comfortable, took his shoes off. He was popping the wine, you know, for me and stuff. And then I realized, I mean, I remembered the wine opener, right? We had Picky Pick. I'm like, oh.
Actually, that's not true. No, you actually forgot the wine bottle opener, the corkscrew. I had to go. I was getting it out of the car when
you
I went
back
in the car.
That's right. Well,
so
you had to, but yeah, you went back before
BJs.
We locked. Before we went up to the elevator,
BJs,
you went
Brian.
Back through.
And
hey, one at a time. I can't hear both of you together.
Well, let me tell it. I tell it better. So I'm sitting there in my PJs, and I'm laying on the bed, and, you know, she's getting the bottle, and she says, I'll open up the wine. And you should have seen her face. The look on her face when she realized that she didn't have her little wine glass, and she looked at the plastic cup, she looked at the wine bottle, and she looked at me, and then she poured the wine in the little plastic cup, and we were cool, but, you know, she was looking out for me because I'd have to go down the elevator, out in the rain,
true.
Go get
it
her glass.
It was pouring rain. He was exhausted from the long ride, and I didn't have the heart to make him do it. And I'm afraid of elevators, so I'm not going to start walking down the stairway after I just walked and stuff in my shoes and all carrying the luggage. I will not go in an elevator. I walk stairs. He
now,
always
wait
goes,
a second.
When we checked in, he always goes one, two, or three floors because I don't want to walk anymore after that. I won't take elevators.
Okay, which floor were you on?
Second.
Second.
Okay, so you mean to tell me that you couldn't put your shoes back on and walk down the steps one flight and go outside, get your dainty little stemware and go back in? Oh,
it was pouring
God.
Rain.
Before you kill me, you're going to melt. Anyway, I'm so happy that you actually had wine out of a plastic cup. And you know what? It had the same effect. Don't
it
tell
did.
Me.
It had a little
it, don't tell me.
It.
It had the same effect.
Do you see what's happening, guys? See, Brian and Laurie, you're both turning into me. It's little by little, inch by inch,
yeah.
Day by day.
I'm more worried about her.
I forget what I said, though. What did I in the text, what did I say? I forget what it was. I was laughing so hard. I'm like, okay, it's official. I admit,
yeah.
I'm drinking out of a plastic cup.
And I texted you back, and I said,
no, you're not dreaming
or
something?
Or
you're not dreaming?
Yeah,
no,
you're not dreaming.
It's surreal.
We wore that story out. And by the way, she has lots of issues. She can't drink out of plastic cups. She can't go down elevators. She doesn't like to go out in the rain. What else we got, Laurie?
Okay, so all right. So it's Laurie's day to be thrown under the bus. So brilliant. Here's the question. So why do you stay with her?
Well, that's a whole different story. I could use the whole 90 minutes for that. There's so many good things, but I don't have time to go through that. We've got a show to do.
Yes.
Hey,
and,
by
of course,
the way,
I do have a dark side, too.
Yeah, you do. And let's talk about the dark side. I'm going to call this the good dark side, the bad dark side, and the ugly dark side. The good, the bad, the ugly. Okay. First of all, dark side, folks, if you don't know what dark side is, you'd need to listen to our show more often. I'm not explaining it again. So if you want to know what dark side is, go listen to our past shows. But, all right, the good dark side. We went to Wendy's, and we had the new, what is it now, Portobello barbecue burger with onions and cheese
bacon.
And barbecue sauce and bacon. Oh, my God, and what was the kind of roll that on? A brioche? How do you say it?
On a brioche.
Brioche, whatever.
Brioche, potato.
Folks, let me tell you, dark side or nothing. If you have not had that burger at Wendy's, go get it. It's worth every penny. It was amazing, and that is probably, I mean, come on, we're talking about, what's that word I used the last couple weeks ago? Refined. It's a refined burger. It's a refined burger at Wendy's, so you got to check that out. Now let's talk about the bad. We went to Burger King.
Oh, boy.
two days ago, and we got this double barbecue bacon bonanza burger at Burger King. And let me just tell
that's
you.
The
that's
the one I told you about weeks ago that we
That was
sucked.
The one you talked about. It was horrible.
Yes. It was horrible.
I ate it, but it was nasty.
And you ate
yeah,
mine,
it was
so
like the worst combination of things.
It was. It's the worst combination.
I mean, I think I went
worst.
Off about how the barbecue sauce didn't go with something else, and
it
was terrible.
Good. And what did
it
Burger? I haven't been to Burger King in a while. They used to do charbroiled burgers, but these were like Like, they were fried and greasy. They're not like they used to make Burger King. I haven't been there in a while, but I won't go back there again, at least to get that burger.
Well, see, I won't. I'm going to go to Wendy's and try this burger because I haven't had a chance to get to Wendy's since she told me about it.
It's heavy.
But I normally don't like Wendy's hamburgers because they're made on a flat top. And it's like, you know, all greasy and everything. But I did hear the commercial yesterday for this burger. And I want to tell you, I'm sorry, Wendy's people. I hope the burger is good, but the commercial sucked.
Well, the burger
was
really
bad.
They should let me do the commercial because I'll tell you, it is fantastic. That is a fantastic burger. And then the ugly, Brian. Brian, you got anything ugly? You usually have something ugly to say. You got anything ugly?
The ugly has to be my chili cheese dog potato chips.
Oh, yeah.
That has to be the ugly.
Were they good?
Well, I think I told you the other day about two of them were good, but when you put all of that flavoring stuff on potato chips, somehow they just seem to settle to the bottom of the bag. And as you eat through the bag, it gets nastier and nastier and saltier and saltier. And I don't even think I finished the bag. It was more, okay, this is a dark side moment. You know, I'm out here doing research and development from Brilliant Ideas Radio. I got to try it. I got to try it, but, you know, it ain't going to happen again.
And you got those at 7-Eleven,
so that was definitely
right?
The ugly.
They were 7-Eleven chips, right?
Yeah. They do a lot of different flavored ones. I would say that this was a little bit better than, there was one that was like a dill pickle something that, you know, was, I've tried a few of them, but, you know.
All right. Well, that's the good, the bad, and the ugly of the dark side. And let me see. Do we have our secret mystery guest calling? No, it's not her. I don't know who it is. I'm not answering it right now. I'm gonna take a quick break because we got a lot of things we can talk about. But I
the only radio station that doesn't take calls. They call in.
Can we put a little voice message on the queue that says Grillions has chosen not to answer your call now. Please call back later.
No, I don't like it because there's a lot of freaky people out there, and when the number comes up and it has that, it has 000000. It might be her 0000. I don't know. I better not answer that. All right, I'm going to check and see if that's her, and then I'm going to take a quick break. And matter of fact, this is a good lead-in song for her. This is a Christmas song we played a couple weeks ago. It's by Batson and Haynes. Santa's Having a Tailgate. We'll be right back.
Santa's having a tailgate. He parked his sleigh out on the frozen lake. Unhooked the reindeer. Brought some ice cold North Pole beer. It's a party fit for a king. Kicking off Christmas Eve. The presents might be a day late. Cause Santa's having a tailgate. Follow the bright star in the sky. Till you see a string of light. It leads to the holler where the party is. You can stop under the holly for a little kiss. Wise men and a little drummer boy beating on the skin. Leave your bah humbug at home. We hope the Grinch is a no-show Jones. Santa's having a tailgate. He parked his sleigh out on the frozen lake. Unhooked the reindeer. Brought some ice cold North Pole beer. It's a party fit for a king. Kicking off Christmas Eve. The presents might be a day late. Cause Santa's having a tailgate. We'll build a bonfire and find a tree. Rock around all night with Brenda Lee. Do shots of moonshine eggnog. And put a red nose on the hound dog. Play cornhole with snowballs. And jingle bells on a duck call. We'll all be jolly, 'tis the season, but we won't be.
Christmas Eve. The presents might be a day late, but Santa's having a tailgate.
I've heard of some other people that said that they had trouble.
I don't know. I don't know if we're something to do with the servers, and we're just so busy, and everybody's just trying to hear Great Ideas Radio. That we're
maybe they're
down
all
the
technically
servers.
Challenged.
I don't know. Maybe. Anyway, we've got our first guest, our secret guest, our crazy guest joining us. And by the way, this is a special moment. I don't know if you guys know, but this guest was on our show 2 years to the date. I think it's to the date. This is her 2-year anniversary on the show, and it is Gina, the crazy bitch of crazybitchsauce.com. Hello, crazy bitch Gina, what are you doing?
Hey, guys, I'm out here being a crazy bitch.
Gina.
Hi, Gina.
How's my sister
hey.
Doing?
I'm doing great. I'm out here at a barbecue festival.
Yay, in Florida. Now, where in Florida are you? I forget where it's located.
We are in Perry, Florida.
Perry,
just
Florida.
Out of
and 2 years ago, you guys, she was like a mystery guest then. Aaron was on the show, and he was at the festival, and he said, you got to talk to this lady. You got to talk to this lady. You got to have her on the show. So it was 2 years ago that it's her anniversary of being on the show, and as soon as she came on, she's been a hit, and everybody loves her. And so what are you doing down there? Are you actually competing, or are you just selling sauce?
I am selling sauce, and this is actually a competition. We have a sauce contest, and I'm coming third place last year, so I'm coming home with the trophy this year. I entered in 3 categories.
So is the chicken shit sauce in the contest?
No, I didn't do the chicken shit. I did chicken little because it was a mustard-based category. If you put anything with any heat in it, you're disqualified. So
oh.
I did chicken little. And then I did the hot stuff contest with my kick-ass sauce. And then I spruced it up a little bit. I put some moonshine in it this time. I figured I could either get them drunk and they'll vote for me or either be really good. Either way. I'm drunk. And then I entered in the sassy in the original category. And then one of my friends is doing the People's Choice Awards with the pool board. And he's using my sassy sauce for his turn-in for the People's Choice.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Now, when will you know the results? What time today will you know the results
o'clock.
Of your one? 5?
Not till 5 o'clock today, yeah.
So what
I'm
do you think?
Oh, gosh.
Have you tasted the competition? Are they anywhere near the crazy bitch sauce?
It's all just plain. They're not like mine. Nobody's like mine.
So now how many barbecue guys are there for this festival that's going on?
Roughly, I would say about 75.
Wow.
And
now,
I would interview a couple of them for you. However, they have a turn-in at 12 o'clock, and I would probably get shot if I went over there now.
Oh, go on. Go down there to the tent and stand there and wave them down.
These guys get intense. And most of them are hungover from last night, you know. They're hungover and intense.
Well, yeah, I wanted to be down there when those guys are turning in, because most of them wait to the very last second before they turn in their competition. And what are they doing right now? Is it like chicken thighs or brisket or what?
the first thing they turn in as the bus.
The bus.
And
okay.
That's what they turned in at 11, and at 12, I think it is the brisket.
Okay.
And then the
but
chicken.
You're not participating in that part of it. You're just in the competition for the sauce.
I'm just in the competition for the sauce and to be a case of it.
And anybody who's listening, if you haven't checked out Gina's sauce, it is fantastic, especially the chicken shit sauce. And I'm out of chicken shit sauce, by the way, Gina, just to let you know. Her website is www.crazybitchsauce.com. You know Brian's never had it. Have you had it, Brian?
No, I haven't yet.
I need to send out some care packages. I get the hint.
Yeah, plus it's Christmas time, too. You
know, Christmas time, right? Just the season.
To be fair to you, I think I recalled you did ask for my address once, so.
Yeah, but see,
I have to remember to send it.
I think he was afraid I was coming to your house.
Well, that's what he's afraid of. We had this exact conversation last night. He doesn't give out his, and I don't blame him. There are some crazies out there, you know, crazy basic. There's a lot of them out there, but he doesn't give out his, and then he gets mad at me. He says, "Well, I don't get any free stuff." Well, you got to give your address to get the free stuff. There's are.
That's right, really. Trust me, I'm a harmless crazy bitch.
Oh, I've dealt with plenty.
Well, anyway, everybody check out our website. I was going to say it. I don't know if I did. www.crazybitchsauce.com. And she's got some really good sauces. And we thought it was appropriate that she call in today from the festival since it is her 2-year anniversary. Good luck out there and hope you win.
Thank you, guys. I watch Facebook. You know, if I win, I'm going to put it on Facebook. You might hear me yelling. I went first. All the way up there where you're at.
We will definitely hear you yelling all the way from Florida.
All the way from Florida.
All right. Well, good luck out there.
Take care, Gina. Happy holidays.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
I love you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Check out our website. And, Brian, you got it. That chicken shit sauce is the best. It's got a mustard base to it, like she said. And it's probably one of my favorite sauces I think I've ever tried out, not to discount all the free stuff I get. It is a really good sauce. Okay, I'm going to take another break, and I can't believe how fast today's going. I have a whole list of things we wanted to talk about, but we don't even have time. It's going fast. But I'm going to play, who am I going to play? Oh, Dixie Still. Let me mention that real quick, too. Dixie Still, the trip that Laurie and I went on this week that Brian alluded to in the beginning of the show, Laurie's doing a jingle for her book, www.myhappybooks.com. That's myhappybooks.com. And she's doing a jingle for her children's books. And Dixie Still is a band that we met on our show a while back. They are the greatest people, Matt and Holly. And they have a fantastic studio in North Carolina. And we went there to do the musical jingle for Laurie's upcoming YouTube/audio CD and the read-along that goes along with her books. If you buy her books, by the way, you get a read-along where Laurie will read to your children so you don't have to. And then there's a song on there that she did with Dixie Still. And that's why we were down there. They are great people. So anyway, we were down there in North Carolina, had a great time. So I'm going to play one of their songs. Actually, this is a new song. It's called Rumor. It's fairly new. It's from their album by the same name called Rumor. And we'll be right back with our next guest, which I mentioned before, is Susie Wyshack, and she's got a book called Good Food, Great Business. Stick around if you want to go into food business. Everyone hang tight. We'll be right back.
y'all. We're Dixie Steele.
And you're listening to our good friends right here on Brilliant Ideas.
Yes, you are. And that is the Dixie Steels and their song Rumor. And we had a great time with them this week. And Laurie, A Star Is Born, she'll be coming out with her new music in about a week or so. And we'll be debuting it here on the show. Before I take my first guest, I have to tell you guys this story because I can't wait another week to tell this. Because you know how I always pick on vegetarians?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And you know how they always beat us in the rankings on the food category? Because I never understand that. There's a lot of vegans who love the radio. Meat eaters, we got to unite. We got to start getting together, and we've got to start listening to the radio show because the vegans are beating us every week. But anyway, I found this story. It's called, it says, most vegetarians keep it up for only a year. This is pretty cool. It seems becoming a vegetarian and staying a vegetarian are two very different things. A whopping, listen to this, 84% of so-called vegetarians end up eating meat again, and most people shift back within a single year, according to a new study. Specifically, 53% of vegetarians are meat eaters again within 12 months. Remember the guy who ran over the
duck? Wow.
Wow, yes. While more than 30% go back to meat within 3 months, this is the Huffington Post report, of 11,000 people studied, 2% were vegetarians, 10% former vegetarians, 88% lifelong meat eaters. A major reason for lapsing, it was social. Those who returned to being omnivorous didn't even have enough support from friends for their vegetarian lifestyle, so they went back to eating meat. It says earlier research.
That's what it is. I could see that.
It is tough. Earlier research points to health issues from staying away from meat. And the Smithsonian report, 35% of respondents in a separate survey of lapsed vegetarians said their own poor health drove them back to animal flesh. I thought that was funny. This guy says in this report, says, I will take a dead cow over anemia anytime. And it says in another report in The Guardian, a lapsed vegetarian writes about their inconveniences of avoiding meat as well as the feeling of every cell in my body was screaming for protein. A message focused on reduction instead of elimination of animal products may be more effective to create an overall decline in animal product consumption. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Over 88% go back to eating meat within a year. So what does that tell us? I don't know.
Eat meat?
Well, I'm one of the statistics. You know
that's
that.
That's right, you were a veggie. How long were you a veggie?
Probably maybe a year and a half at most. So
really?
the statistic is right there. It works.
That's interesting.
Wow.
Well, I hate to say it because I know I pick on vegans and they hate me, but most vegans I've met, they don't look good. I mean, they just look like, you know how runners and people like do marathons and stuff, how they have that gaunt look? A lot of vegans look that way too. And I'm like, I'm going to get so much nasty hate mail, but I don't care. Anyway, go back to eating meat. You'll feel better. According to this study, 88% of you guys do anyway. All right. I should bring my guest on before I get in trouble. All right. Our guest is Susie Wyshak. She's an author of a book. It's called Good Food, Great Business, and a very interesting book. I haven't read it, but I was reading some information online about it, and pretty cool, especially if you want to learn how to start a successful food product company. So if everything's working here, we should have Susie joining us. Good morning or good afternoon, wherever you are. Susie, welcome to the show.
Good morning. I'm in San Francisco, so I think are we in the same time zone?
No, we're in that time zone, but we're way
okay.
Over here on the East Coast now. So it's lunchtime. You're eating breakfast right now.
Well, I'm in a place where there are plenty of vegans, and I see actually lots of chunky vegans. I think because there's so much food here made with cashew cream and all kinds of good nutty foods that it can maybe be hard to stay thin when you're vegan in San Francisco.
Well, you are kind of you're in the capital. You're like in the vegan capital of the world in San Francisco. I think there's like more per capita. I read that one time, like it's like 10 times more vegans in San Francisco than any other city in America. I think the next one was like Portland. So, yeah, you are in a vegan area out there.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I loved hearing your conversation because it was such a great segue to the topic of foods, you know, and niches for all kinds of people.
And that's true. I mean, there are lots of niches out there. I mean, because I was going to ask you a few questions about the niche that I like. So let's talk about your book a little bit first. It sounds very interesting. Good Food, Great Business. And what you've done is you've put together all the success stories, basically, and kind of the secrets of how people have gotten into the food business and become successful and some of the things they learned along the way. So you want to tell us a little bit about your book and how you got involved in that?
Sure. And one thing that's notable is that, I mean, there were dozens of food companies who contributed and people who were maybe individuals starting food businesses on the side. And they actually, there are stories from people who decided to shut down or were forced to shut down, which I think is pretty interesting for people who are thinking of starting up. So it's a book that I was working at one of the early online companies for small artisan food producers to sell called Foodzy. People called it Etsy for food because Etsy was already popular. This was only 5 years ago, but it was like a lifetime ago before all the TV shows and things about food crafters. And so I have a dream job working with little startups around the country who are trying to get visibility for their food products. A lot of them were selling in farmers markets, and they were discovering things kind of the hard way, spending lots of money, not realizing, kind of thinking down the line once they started shipping, what would happen to the packaging, the shelf life. So I decided to compile all of this knowledge into one book, because there were books out there about how to bring food products to market, but I wanted something that was like calling up someone and saying, what do I do now, or what should I know? And so my goal was to combine that, like, what should I know, or, like, if you had one thing to tell aspiring food startups, what would you tell them?
Well, it's pretty cool because I think I run into somebody every day. When you tell them that you're in the food business or related to the food business, everybody's got a food idea, you know, like, whether it be pickle on a stick or bacon wrapped cauliflower or whatever it may be, everybody's got an idea of a food product that they want to sell. and I say that because I make that all the time, and everyone laughs at me. That's kind of my specialty, cauliflower wrapped in bacon, and it's kind of like my thing. But if people want to find out, I mean, it's not easy. I mean, I know I tried to do a few things myself back in the day, and I've had more failures than successes because there's so much regulation. There's so much that goes into it. There's things you got to worry about. And so you're just kind of like, your book is like an encyclopedia of where to go to find out what to do and how to do it and how not to do it and, you know, learn by other people's successes. Can you give us some ideas of some people that are in your book and some of the things that they tell you?
Sure. And, I mean, the big picture is to think down the line and kind of back up of, like, when you're, you know, when you get into Whole Foods, like, what are you going to need to do? I met someone who has a popcorn company she's going to be making it big, and it's like when you start your production, you know, once someone internationally wants to sell your products, what's your production and distribution going to look like? So one of the people I interviewed was Justin's Nut Butter, and he's based in Colorado, and he started in the farmer's market, and he had a vision to get big with he has these convenient nut butters packaged in little packets. You can often get in a bakery or something like that to spread on your bread, and then also in jars. And he grew slowly and deliberately, and he got plenty of funding. But then he was, you know, he's had kind of stumbling blocks with, there were different issues of peanut butter production over the years. But he's really grown. He's gotten lots of funding. So he had a great team and, you know, went to the trade shows. So he's an example of one of the companies that's gotten bigger. And Mary's Gone Crackers is a gluten-free cracker. She's another example. And then there are lots of, I'm the co-chair of the Good Food Awards Confections Committee, so I know so many candy makers, and there's lots of candy examples in the book as a result. And a lot of them are individuals who are smaller and sell locally. But one in Los Angeles, they're called Amela Caramels, and they developed an agave nectar sweetened caramel that they experimented many times along the way with different packaging and figuring out who their real audience was so that they could grow and quit their day jobs and make a living off of caramels. So you see them now, and they're in a lot of world market locations and then also Whole Foods, and they do have all sorts of different packagings for different occasions. But they decided to innovate on the ingredients and having a great caramel at a price that someone could afford as a snack versus being a high-end product. So there are all these different angles you could take your business. And so I try to select companies from, like, of different sizes, different locations, different categories to give people a full scope of being able to visualize what they might want to start and where it could go.
Well, I think it's, for a lot of people, it's a scary venture, too, because when you get into food, and we've had these conversations before with even people on our show, that there's always things that crop up that you don't think about, especially with regulations and FDA, USDA, mm-hmm. and all that. But I think based on what I'm reading about your book, you sort of take away the mystery of some of that and help people get through the process.
Yeah, it's the book is very focused on business, but it also definitely tells stories and points people to look at the FDA and USDA websites because it is so complex for each different product category that people really need to get in there, like if they're making an ice cream or jerky, to know the regulations and where they're going to produce it, because they might start at home, but that's quickly going to change once they want to sell nationally or even to retail stores. And so things like the fact that, you know, you might start out with a salsa, and then if you end up with a spread, it might have a different regulation than the salsa had, and you might need new inspections. So, yeah, as it sounds like, you know, the costs can quickly add up.
Yep.
And so it's good to do all that research ahead of time and think about where you're going with it and making sure you're not like, oh, this is a fun thing to do seasonally, and then discovering that it's going to cost you much more than you would make back from the product.
Yeah, I know, and some of the things I've worked on too, some of the laws are changing to make it a little bit less difficult for people, home bakers, et cetera, to come out with
mm-hmm.
their own product, because regulations were such that, you know, literally the small guy, it was impossible, and then you go to these co-packers who want you to commit to like 500 million pieces of whatever it is that you're making, so they made it a little bit easier. I think in California, they made it a little bit more easier, and even out here on the East Coast, for people who have home products that they want to try out, to make it more simple. I'm sure Brian is sitting back there. I bet he's got like 10 different food ideas of things he wants to do. So Brian, you have any questions you want to ask her about startups?
No, I don't have 10 different ideas. Hi, Susie. Actually, what I was going to, Grillion actually covered a lot of what I was going to ask about, especially, you know, knowing the liabilities and the financial and, you know, and all the legal risks. Do you ever encounter people that say, hey, I have friends that keep telling me I should package this, I should market that, you know, we should write a cookbook together, you know, and then you think about how their approach is, well, I'm nobody, so how am I going to get started? Do you have advice for that?
I mean, it's really starting small and testing locally, which those cottage food laws or homemade food laws are such a great opportunity for that if the product category is allowed to be made at home. But even for people who have an idea that either they formulate it and they want to test it themselves, to test not only with friends but strangers, so like maybe make food for someone else's party and see what their feedback is. I actually was experimenting with a very odd product that I was like, no one's done this, and it was kind of puffing this black rice, and I was testing it with kids and parents to see their reactions. And so there's nothing like testing. And honestly, today, like, food retailers and consumers are just always so interested in new foods, even if it's the same category, maybe it's a twist on spices or the ingredients. So finding ways to just do it and test it. And then if there's a local small business SBDC, small business development, why am I forgetting the C? But the local SBA office, Small Business Administration office, might have some guidance for people getting started, or there might be local incubators, but just finding some way to test it, and especially with people who aren't going to, you know, try to, who don't have your feelings in mind when they're giving you feedback.
Because it's easy to start small nowadays. Yeah. I know people that actually, you know, they want to get on our show, you know, because they want to promote their product. And I ask them, I says, well, how are you promoting it now? Well, I can't sell it here. You know, the laws won't allow me to sell it there. And I said, well, are you doing Kickstarter? Are you, you know, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
How are you getting around these legalities? Because I just think about, you know, the lawsuits that could happen if someone makes something and they test it out, and then, you know, someone gets sick, and then it's like, okay, well, you don't even have insurance, you're not certified, you're not this, you're not that, but they go out to these little farmers markets, and somehow they're selling their product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't understand how, you know, how they can, and that's why I'm just curious about, you know, what those legalities are.
Well, it's interesting, and recently, I was talking to an insurance broker, and he said every day he gets calls from people making food at home, and they don't understand that they're going to need to invest $1,000 or $2,000 in insurance, and they don't do it. So, I mean, it's like any business where, you know, they should at least take out some kind of personal liability insurance or something. I personally wouldn't sell food without insurance. Well, my parents are lawyers, so that's part of it.
But yeah,
I've talked to retailers, too, who say, you know, often the inspections in a home kitchen are very cursory. They don't go back often, if ever. And I've known people who confidentially have said, like, I wouldn't sell food made in someone's home at my store. I think it's different if maybe it's a pastry chef who decides to start that, but an everyday consumer, they really need to build that confidence and, you know, talk about what they're doing to get the consumer to be confident about what they're eating. So,
I know lots of
markets require insurance, so ones that don't, I mean, I'm not sure why they would take that route.
I've noticed, too, that when people start off and they have a nice product and they make it at home or in a small kitchen, when they take that next step to commercialize it, the product completely changes. And do you have anything in your book about that or what people do? Because, matter of fact, the lady we had on before you, Gina, she has a sauce company called CrazyBitchSauce.com, and she actually had a co-packer do her product, and then when it came out, it tasted 100% different than what she had been making. So do you have any thing in your book about that and how people can make sure that their product, when it goes through that process, stays the way it is?
Well, I tell stories and I warn about that, but honestly, like, there are some co-packers who say we need to use onion powder, or, I mean, you know, you're making it at home with fresh onion or something like that, or frying it, and maybe either the cost of the co-packer doing that is too high or they don't have the equipment. There's a story about Tessie May, a salad dressing company, who they thought they were going to use a co-packer, but they ended up actually becoming a manufacturer because they wanted to do it their way with their formula, and the co-packers, they tried multiple times and couldn't do it. So that's just one thing to have in mind when you think you're going to replicate your small batch homemade product at that scale. I'm glad you brought that up because it is, It's just something you might not think about.
Yeah, when it gets bigger, it sometimes doesn't taste as good. I've noticed that. Now, if people want to find your book, first of all, I'll mention your website, which is www.foodstarter.com. Easy to remember if you want to be in the food business and you want to do a startup, foodstarter.com. If they want to find your book, Good Food, Great Business, I assume they can find it on your website. Where else can they find your book?
So, of course, it's on Amazon. It's on Chronicle Books, and it's in Barnes & Noble and lots of independent stores nationwide. It just came out 3 weeks ago, so it might not be there yet.
Well, I saw something where you actually were like, once you weren't like the premier books on Amazon or one of those
sites that recently? Yeah, that was really exciting. I was number one in a couple of categories under business. And hopefully that will, as the book becomes more distributed, and actually I'm rolling out an online course for people to plan as they read the book. So I expect it to spread, and I really hope to help people, you know, avoid mistakes and plan whatever will be their best lifelong food business.
Well, it's really cool. It's a great idea because I've met so many people who have these ideas. That's why we call the show Brilliant Ideas. But there's tons of people out there who always have food products that they want to come out with. And your book sounds like it's just right for those millions and millions and millions and millions of people out there who have those pickle on the stick ideas. So everyone check out Good Food, Great Business. Go to her website, www.foodstarter.com. And Susie, it sounds very interesting. I'm looking forward to reading the book.
Well, I also have to shout out to Punk Rock Labs, which is in Minnesota, that makes vegan cheeses and spreads.
Oh.
You should check out. They were a really cool story in the book, and they could be your linchpin to go back to vegan eating.
Oh, yeah, I know. They're probably not going to like me after what I said. But, yeah, it's called vegancheese.com?
Punk Rock Labs, R-A-W-K.
All right. Well, we'll check that out. And thank you very much, everyone. Check out Susie's book. It's Susie Wyshack. You can find her also on Facebook and punch in the Food Starters, and you can find her there. And thank you very much, and good luck with the book.
Hey, thank you, and good luck to you, and happy holidays.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
All right, guys, speaking of happy holidays, great segue. I want to play a holiday song, one of my favorite by the Tractors. And it's called Santa Boogie Woogie. And we'll be right back here with our musical guest. And, hey, Laurie, did you have any food news you want to tell, or Brian? Because we're going to have a few minutes before I bring on our next guest.
No, but
I
wanted
to.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
No, I just wanted to make a comment that I think that we should sell her books through Brilliant Ideas Radio to everybody that wants to get on our show that has an idea and say, read the book first. Read the book first and then come to us when you start thinking about really marketing.
That's a great, brilliant idea.
It is
a great idea. All right, we're going to take a break and we're going to be right back. And don't go away. We'll be talking to our next guest, which is Kara Stevens and Kara and the Damn Band. I love that name. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Santa Claus is coming in a boogie-woogie choo-choo train. Gosh almighty, much to my surprise, nobody's been naughty, everybody's been nice. Now Santa likes to boogie, Santa likes to dance, Santa likes to rock it, likes to go real fast, Santa likes to ride in the boogie-woogie choo-choo train. Santa's got the elves working overtime, he's doubled up production on the toy production line. Got to get a better plan, got to find a better way. We got toys for the boys and girls all over.
about me. Don't leave me sitting all alone at home on Christmas Eve. Santa said, no way, man, we gotta have your nose to show us all the way, to show us where to go. We got Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid, Donder and Blitzen. We all going riding in a boogie woogie choo choo train. Santa Claus is coming.
Are you ready for Christmas?
I am.
I'm pulling a Laurie and saying, nope.
Nope.
Nope, I am.
And I'm just sitting here thinking, man, it's 12, 13, 14. It's only 12 days away for Christmas. We got to hurry up, Laurie.
Oh, 12th day of Christmas. Are you kidding me? I've been wrapping and I'm buying. I'm done. I'm pretty much done.
I'm not.
Laurie's a Christmas wrapper.
Well, we have a surprise. We'll talk soon, but I know what we're giving each other for Christmas, and it's a biggie.
Yes, we are. It's a biggie.
You're not supposed to know what each other's giving. Where's the surprise?
Well, this was a group effort, so it's like I'll give you this, you give me that, and we'll do this together and put a big ripo on it. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it's not a Winnebago or a truck.
No.
Because you already have those.
Well, I already got those, too. All right.
I was debating whether I'm shipping your Christmas present or not, and it's too fragile. So it's going to have to wait till I see you guys.
Okay.
Well, that may be never if I have anything to do with it.
I'll use them myself.
Fine.
No.
I'll put them in the shed.
Think.
I'll put them in the shed, and I'll use them myself. That's all.
Hey, Brian, I have a question.
You're gonna
for
be
you.
That way. Fine.
I have a question for you. Is it olive oil?
No, it's not olive oil. So there.
I have a question for you. Are you still maintaining your position on olive oil that you're not supposed to cook with olive oil?
I didn't say all olive oil. I said cold pressed, first press oils and unfiltered oils, like what I
did.
Now
you're changing. You're changing your story now because I'll play the tape. You said you're not supposed to cook with olive oil. It's only for taste. I'm going to get that tape, and I'm going to tape it. I'm going to play it next week.
I said that olive oil that I gave you.
No.
Cook with olive oil. I use light olive oils to cook with.
Okay. I'm going to play the
and
tape.
If you're,
I'm gonna
and
that.
If you're out of olive oil, I'll have another bottle for you. Don't
ooh.
Worry.
Oh, and there you go. Now, you know what?
Okay. Good excuse for you to get here.
All right.
Or at least slow down on 95 and I'll throw it at the car.
There you go.
Instead of waving. Yep. I'm waving to you, Brian. You're like, what? I'm waving
no, but
to
not
you.
Your Christmas present because I'm not throwing that at the car. It'll break.
All right. Our poor guest is listening to this conversation. So what the heck am I doing on this show? I'm gonna play her song. And by the way, I mentioned her before we went to break. Kara Stevens, and it's called Kara and the Damn Band. I love the name. And we were talking about being on the dark side, and dark side for us is eating those things that are, I guess, scary to most people, like Burger King, Wendy's, and all that. And Brian, especially, is always on the dark side. And this song is appropriate. This could be, Brian, this really should be your theme song, Alone
in
the Dark.
I'm telling you, it's really dark. I mean, it has a very dark feel to it. So, I mean, I love it. I love the song.
I think this should be your new theme song. Anyway, Kara and the Damn Band, Alone in the Dark. We'll be coming back to talk to Kara, and I believe also her producer, Chad Austin, will be joining us too. So everyone hang tight. We'll be right back after the song. Welcome to the show, Kara.
Oh, thank you so much. How are you doing today?
All right. Welcome.
Good morning.
We like that. Hi. We really like that song. You kind of sound like Pat Benatar. Has anyone ever told you that?
Oh, yes. Yes, Pat Benatar is my favorite. And she was actually one of the first singers I listened to growing up. And the funny story is my neighbor used to collect CDs back in the day, and so I was like, you know, I didn't collect any CDs, and so to try to be like her, I wanted to try to collect CDs. So I looked in my dad's case, and the first person I saw was Pat Benatar, and I was like, who is this woman? And so I started listening to her, and from that point on, I was like, I love it. I love it.
Yeah,
so.
Your music does have that sound. I don't know if you meant it that way, but it does. You do sound a lot like her. And welcome to the show. We got your name through our good buddy, Big John. And Big John's been on
awesome.
Our show a couple of times. And Big John's, I don't know what he's doing, but I think he's coming out with some music himself. He's a harmonica player, everybody who doesn't know Big John. But I'm glad that he hooked us up here because I've been looking forward to having you on the show. And I understand you have your producer there with you, Chad Austin, also.
I do.
I'm here.
Hey, Chad, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Now, are you, I'm not sure I didn't ask the question before, and I should have, but are you Studio 37?
Yes, I am.
All right, so Tara is an artist that you've signed, and she's a singer, artist, songwriter for Studio 37. And I guess, did you have a new CD that you're coming out with?
Yes, it should be out hopefully before Christmas. And it's going to be awesome.
All right. We love the music. And what's the CD going to be called, Kara?
It's going to be called Kara and the Damn Band, Alone in the Dark. So that's
actually the
title track for the album.
That's a good name for it.
Well, thank you.
So tell us about Kara Stevens. How long have you been in the singing world?
You know, I've been singing all my life. And it's funny because I started off, I was really into sports when I was little, but I've always had a sing, and so I used to do these things at my house where I'd invite like 50 to 100 people whenever my parents would have a party, and I would put on these like Broadway shows by myself, and I would dress up as each individual character, and I would sing, and I just did that for fun. And everybody always told me, oh, you know, you should go into the music world now. And I was like, oh, no, I'm too involved into sports. And I tried out for the Olympics and stuff, was an all-state pitcher, softball pitcher. And but I knew in my heart that I would eventually turn to music as a career.
Well, it's interesting,
so that's
but you
exactly
actually studied. I was reading your bio. You studied painting and sculpture in school, right?
I did, yes. I went to UTSA after the whole softball thing was over. I went to UTSA, and I fell in love with painting and sculpture. And that's another thing I've been doing all my life is painting. So I'm just like a right-brain person, and my professors were great. They taught me so much. And I was supposed to go to New York and hand in my application and hopefully get a scholarship. My professors were really looking forward to that. And, you know, right when I was about to do that, Chad found me and signed me to Studio 37. And I decided to go with it because Chad said something to me I'll never forget. He pulled me in his office and he said, look, he was like, I know you're an artist. I know this is what you want to do is go to New York. You know, become a professor and a professional artist, but this is a chance of a lifetime. And he was like, you know, so you can either watch yourself famous when you're dead as an artist, or you can watch yourself become famous when you're alive. And I was like, perfect. All right, let's
Aww.
Do it.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So Chad, now your studio, is it in San Antonio?
Yes. We're in San Antonio and, it's not really a hire-type studio. I just work with certain artists, and I've been with Kara for about 2.5 years now. And so we're really focusing on her material, and, you know, we put together the band for her, and we try to take care of all the promotions and whatnot. And we're more of a full-service type thing. A lot of studios, you just go in, oh, I want to pay you to record this song or blah, blah, blah. I'm more focused on big picture than trying to make a little bit of money off a lot of people. I've been searching for artists and recording people, and then Kara came along, and I saw that, you know, she has both things. She has looks and talent. So it's like, let's see where we can go with this.
Now what genre? I always hate that word, but everybody in the music business uses it, so I have to use it too. What genre is Kara in?
We're pretty much rock. It's funny because we started off we were going to do country rock, and we started writing music and putting songs down, and they were good. But when we put a band together, then we started performing. And then we figured out, man, we are really just rock. And the country thing is just not feeling. I mean, she has a little twang to her voice when she lets it out. So we were going off of that, but it just, the rock is where the love is. So a lot of the songs we wrote in the beginning, we went back and rewrote them as rock songs instead of country. So it was like, so it's been a process, a kind of a finding process of who she is. I've always been rock my whole life. So it's like, I was playing around in the country. And like I said, the songs were okay, but you could just tell that the passion wasn't there until we started doing the rock. And Alone in the Dark is a prime example of the passion for that type of music. And
yeah.
I thought that it really came out well.
That song, you can feel the passion in it, and we were talking about it before you came on, and I like the sound of it. And I'm going to play your next song. Now, your next song is completely different. To me, I'll call it Pissed Off Rock. But the song is called Shout It Out. And were you mad at somebody when you made this song?
No, actually, I tried to envision a song for Kara and the Damn Band once we made it huge and we're out in front of, you know, thousands, millions of people. What would be a really cool song that represented us to get the crowd going? And so it's called Shout It Out. And it's to get the crowd rowdy, man. It's like.
Well, we're going to play Shout It Out. I still call it Pissed Off Rock. And we'll be right back. We're going to talk about what kind of food does Kara like to eat when she's out rocking and rolling and pissing everybody off with the song. We'll be right back.
Not afraid of what we're feeling, 'cause we know that it's real. Off the stage in a cage that we for living, wanna know how it feels.
Think of it, but that was called Shout It Out.
But it's awesome.
And it's going to be on your new CD. And when did you say you thought the CD would be coming out?
Before Christmas. It should be coming out before Christmas. And what we're going to do also is right before Christmas, the album will be coming out. But we're also going to add on a documentary with the album if you buy it on our website at KaraAndTheDamnBand.com. And it'll
all
also
right.
come with our music video. So you're kind of getting a good package, and the band will sign it and everything
cool.
like that. So we try to do things the old-fashioned way.
The old-fashioned way. I have a link to your website, KaraAndTheDamnBand.com. Like, you just click it, and it takes you right to Kara's website. And by the way, the YouTube video, we didn't mention that, but the YouTube video that you have of Alone in the Dark, that's a great video, by the way. Who produced that? Did you produce that, Chad?
Our videographer was Bobby Merkel, and it was kind of a collab. I mean, he did most of it, but as far as the conceptuals, I mean, me, him, and Kara put a lot of time and effort in coming up with the story of that video. And a lot of times when we do videos, we just let the song tell us what to do anyway. So
yeah.
So realistically, Kara writes all the lyrics. So realistically, the story comes from Kara, and we just kind of make it come to life.
Well, the video does tell a good story, and it's an excellent video. Okay, now we're on a food show. And so, Kara, don't tell me, are you a vegan, by the way? I hope not.
Oh, good Lord, no. Oh, no. I eat my meat.
Texas God.
So you like meat, I guess. And being in Texas, you must be a brisket girl, maybe?
Hey, yeah, you know, that's the problem with me, man. I can't eat anything. That's my problem. I have to, like, really watch out because I'm just, I mean, you put a plate of food in front of me, it's like I'll eat everything on it. So so it's like, I mean, I used to be pretty chunky in high school, so, and I worked it all off. And I do watch what I eat, but it's very healthy. I just stay away from fried foods, but other than that,
right.
I eat everything.
Sounds like me. I don't push away from the table very often, and when I do, if the table is empty. But okay, so let's go back a little bit too. I forgot to ask you this question. Are you playing in honky tonks, or what kind of venue are you playing in now? If people want to find you in San Antonio.
In San Antonio, we're hitting up Lefties a lot. Let's see, Chad, can you think of we go to Kerrville. Every month at the Guadalupe River Club.
It varies. I mean, we play around, and we're looking to put together we'll start touring kind of like in a 500-mile radius and work out from there. But we play in San Antonio probably at least twice a month now. It just depends on the month, honestly. It's we have a set schedule with a couple of venues, but you know, you don't want the people getting tired of seeing you either, so you don't want to keep playing the same place over and over and over and over again. So,
yeah, that's the problem we have on our radio show for 3.5 years. They keep listening to us over and over and over and over again. I think they get tired of us, so I don't know. We may have to have a venue change too ourselves. Anyway, well, we appreciate you joining us this morning on the show, and good luck with the new album, CD, whatever we call it nowadays. And anybody who wants to find it, you can go to her website, KaraAndTheDamnBand.com, and the new album is called Alone in the Dark. And we wish you luck, and thank you for joining us on the show, and keep us posted if you get anything new out there. If you come out with later after this one, let us know. And also, Chad, you got anybody else out there who wants to come on a funky little food radio show, let me know.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
All right, you guys take care. Have a happy holiday.
You too. Merry Christmas.
Take care.
Merry Christmas. Bye. All right, guys, we're almost out of time, believe it or not. And Brian, are you still there? Are you still thinking about that olive oil question?
I'm here, but you know, you just never let me talk to the musicians anymore. And you know, I spent 25 years in the music industry, over 25 years in the music industry. You don't think I can relate?
And every week you tell us that.
And every week
I forget
you say, he's pissing me off even more, so I'm never going to let him talk.
Oh, he should have asked him for a question. That would have been good.
What I was going to say about her, what's unique about her is, and I did my homework, and I watched all of her videos, is that you look at her stuff, she's got, like, completely different styles in every one. She goes from almost this heavy metal sound to, you know, being able to sing a beautiful ballad. And I think she's really talented. And the thing about the Alone in the Dark was that is the perfect song and title for a James Bond movie.
Oh, yeah, it would be.
Can you just imagine that? Alone in the Dark and her, you know, there are a lot of singers that were discovered by singing the title songs of James Bond movies.
That's true. And you're right. It does have that sound. It would be a good name for a title track for the 007. You're right. Sean Connery dead, isn't he?
No.
I
don't think so.
Who's
he's 103, but he's not dead.
Who is 007
now?
I don't even. I don't know either.
I don't know
what I'm talking about. Just rambling on, trying to waste time. Laurie?
You guys are crazy. What? Yes. Do I have something to say? Yes. Every week now, I'm going to say it. I'm going to promote myself.
Nope.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
You
say nope.
you want to promote yourself? You got 3 minutes. Do you want to say something?
Yeah, I'm so excited because now my books are going to have the read-along with it. And a little bonus jingle at the end.
It's cool.
So the mothers and fathers can pop the little CD in while they're driving. The kids can hold the book and they can like read along. And they've got the pretty little. We had Holly and Matt. They put the little and Chris. They worked on it. Put the little fairy dust to turn the page.
Wait. Fairy dust comes out of the books when you have to turn the page.
The sound.
Hey, there's
a Tinkerbell. It's so cute.
We should have done that, Laurie. Anyway, don't forget, it's myhappybooks.com. And there's been a slight delay. We had hoped that she would get her books out by the end of the year. But in the printing business, things happen. So it'll be early 2015. Actually, she's got one of the books, Happy's Holidays, which is really cool. But you also tell everybody, too, about the e-book. They can get your books, at least your first one, on e-book.
Yep.
Through
iTunes.
iPhone or iTunes, whatever they call it.
iTunes. Yep.
I'm not
into
that modern.
That's okay.
Yeah, I don't get all that modern.
But you've been working on the website, and it's just beautiful. They could just go peek at the website.
Yes, go peek at the website. And, Brian, did you have any websites anybody could peek at?
No. No, I am against websites. I'm against self-promotion.
Oh, gee. He's against self-promotion?
I'm just the Grinch.
Oh, my God. You do nothing but self-promote your food every single day. What are you talking about? You're against self-promotion.
Hey, but
you
know what? I'm not trying to get on Grillion's ideas selling a concept.
Well, that's true. You're not.
That's true.
We need to look up. We need to get you a website. I wonder if the winesr.com is available. Someone's running to get it right now. But we need to get you a website.
it'll be empty like you say I am.
Yes.
No.
Empty like your bottles, right? Okay.
Right.
Got to go. By the way, don't forget, tomorrow night, I'm going to say her name correctly this time, Linky Moire. I said it right. Well, have
you
our show tomorrow
are.
Night. Yes. Tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Linky will be joining us. This is so cool. And then I've moved poor Albert around. But Albert's going to be on Wednesday morning instead of Sunday night, Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. East Coast Time. And don't forget John Dilly, too, at 7 p.m. Tuesday. We're shuffling things all around. Thank you for joining us. I'm almost out of time. I'm going to play Santa Baby by Madonna. Have a nice one. We'll see you next weekend on the 20th. Everyone take care and see you then.
Cheers, guys.
Santa baby, slip the sable under the tree for me. been an awful good girl. Can't a baby and hurry down the chimney tonight. Sit a baby, an outer space convertible to light blue. For you, dear, dance a baby and hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be oh so good if you'll check off my Christmas list. Brittle, brittle, Santa honey, I want a yacht and really that's not a lot. I've been an angel all year since a baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, there's one thing I really do need. The deed to a platinum mine, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, and fill my stocking with the duplex and checks. Sign your ex on the line, Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decoration for that Tiffany's. Believe in me, ba-doo, ba-doo, Santa baby. Forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on a phone, Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight.